Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the musical Les Mis, a young man named Marius sings a song called Empty Chairs at Empty Tables. He sings it because he enters a room where his friends used to meet, but now they're all dead after being killed in a short-lived revolution. He sings, "There's a grief that can't be spoken. There's a pain goes on and on. Empty chairs at empty tables. Now my friends are dead and gone. Phantom faces at the window. Phantom shadows on the floor. Empty chairs at empty tables. Where my friends will meet no more." It's a terribly tragic song at the end of a tragic musical. And it's a song which I think some of us this Christmas can relate to. The great reformer Martin Luther, one of the things he was known for saying is to call a thing what it is. If it's evil, call it evil. If it's good, call it good. Don't sugarcoat things. At some of our tables tonight, there are going to be empty chairs. For some of us, even on this Christmas night, this night that is sacred and supposed to be full of joy, there is pain and grief that seems to go on and on. This year, some of us have experienced loss and heartache in such a way that, in a weird way, the joy of this Christmas only seems to amplify the sorrow we endure. And it isn't only physical loss that can create pain as well. Some of us will look across and we'll see a chair that has a body in it, but the hurt, the betrayal that we experience can be just as painful. So even on this sacred night, this holy, this peaceful night, our lives and our families, our world can seem like they are anything but peaceful. We are a people oppressed, and sometimes it really feels like we're under attack by the world, by our own selves, by our brokenness. We are under attack, assault. Not by government, by legislation, but by sin and death. They go hand in hand. As people of faith, that is what we confess. That's why we come to church. All tragedy, all sorrow, all pain, all disease, all strife, all tears, all heartbreak, they are all part of our lives, part of this world, because we are broken. We are broken people. And sin oppresses us, comes to us on our own accord, and all creation, as Paul says, groans under the weight of a broken world. We are a people under the assault of our own brokenness. But tonight, we hold a vigil. We celebrate God's breaking in to this world. At Christmas, we celebrate a quiet infiltration of God Almighty into human history through the birth of a baby boy. Now, the angel tells Joseph and Mary that they are to name this baby Jesus. And the angel gives a reason, "For he will save his people from their sins." I finally saw Star Wars last night, and I thought I would maybe use an illustration tonight about Star Wars, but it's too early yet. I don't want to spoil it for you. So instead, I'll go to my other favorite show, which is Doctor Who, a British TV show. Maybe two or three of you watch it and are a nerd with me as well. God bless you. For those of you that don't watch it, I'll give you the briefest, simplest summation I can of it. Doctor Who is a show about a time-traveling, space-traveling man from another world. That's the quick and dirty explanation. The show is titled after the main character, who simply calls himself the Doctor. No one knows what the Doctor's real name is. Some time in his past, and this guy has lived for thousands of years, the Doctor decided to call himself the Doctor. The title means something to him. In one episode, he tells his companion, "The name I chose is the Doctor. It's like a promise you make." The angel tells Joseph to name the child Jesus because it means something. It literally means the Lord saves. The name of Jesus is a promise that God has made to you and to the entirety of the created order. "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name, the purpose of Christ go together. The name and identity, his work, they go hand in hand. His purpose, the very definition of his name, is to save. And as we sang in some of our songs tonight, he will do so by way of the cross. Sometimes it can feel a little weird to have images of the manger and this little crib with a baby in it, and then to sing songs about Jesus dying on the cross. They are always, in the Gospels, one and the same. You cannot separate baby Jesus, the one lying in the manger, from the one who is nailed and pierced to the cross. They go hand in hand. This baby Jesus will pay the price needed to forgive our sins on the cross. It is in his very name. By his death, he will remove all the guilt that we bear because of our sin. But this Jesus, according to the angel, will not only forgive our sins, he will save his people from them. He will save his people from the brokenness of this world. In other words, he will bring a day when there will be no more empty tables, no more empty chairs. He will bring a day when all pain will cease, all the tears be dried, all sorrows be lifted. Jesus will bring a day when the oppression of death and sin will be no more. It will be utterly, totally destroyed. His name is Jesus. And he does what his name says. It is a promise he makes. It is a promise to you, to all who have faith in him. So tonight we sing songs of hope and we sing songs of faith on this sacred night. And for you who are weary, you who confess faith in Christ, to you, you have the thrill of hope that you are forgiven, that you are saved. To you is given the promise of God that he has not abandoned this world, and he has certainly not abandoned you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, on this night we do two things. We look forward to the celebration of Jesus Christ and His birth, and Your inbreaking into this world, Your assault upon sin and death. And we also, Lord, anticipate Your return when You will bring all things into completion. Bring Your light into this world. We pray this in Your name. Amen.